Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio at Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Rachel Crawford, the wizard behind the ever-popular Tumblr food website called Made Weekly. Rachel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Made Weekly, conceptually, is a cooking experiment of 5 recipes, 5 days with one ingredient that is beautiful and simple and yet so complex at the same time. Tell me more.
That's what I'm going for. It was a couple things. It's like you grow up eating ingredients that your parents make you or that you come across in life. And it's like, you know, the one way to cook cauliflower, or you know, the one way to cook another ingredient. And I think that keeps people from either liking certain things or experimenting too much when they're cooking. So that was sort of one idea, is that I would love to take one ingredient every week, kind of mostly seasonal, and show people 5 different ways to prepare it. Part of that is also you have like a random half bunch of kale in your fridge. Like, what do you do with it? So kind of helping people not waste food and come up with creative ways to use fridge remnants. And I think it's a particular problem for those of us that live in the city or a city, but either by ourselves or with one other person, and you're sort of cooking small quantities of things, and yet you're at the store and you have to buy this gigantic bunch of something. So I was kind of trying to solve a few problems, but just in a really super simple, visual, kind of inspirational recipe way.
Thank God for you, because Lord knows I'll buy like 2 pounds of Brussels sprouts and then they're sitting in my fridge and they look like Frankenstein by the end of the week because I don't know what to do with them. So tell me about how this blog came about for you.
It was 2 influences happening at the same time, so it was sort of serendipitous, but I was taking a basic web programming class. I'm by no stretch a programmer, but I took an HTML and CSS class, and we had this sort of fake project. It was with this group called Skill Crush, and they're totally awesome, and their goal is to teach women how to code. So I was kind of just messing around the first week and just faking a bunch of stuff, and then I realized I should probably focus on a real project so that when I'm done with this, I have, you know, an outcome that I can actually run with and use. So I brainstormed around this idea that I'd had kind of percolating in the back of my head for a long time, and simultaneously was talking to a friend who works at Tumblr, and she was telling me kind of what works on Tumblr, what's great on Tumblr, really visual, simple, you know, rebloggable things. So those 2 pieces coming together really were the inspiration for this particular blog.
So tell me about how this works. Do you just pick an ingredient by season? Do you go to the farmer's market? How do you decide to kind of create the recipes?
You know, I'm not super strict about seasonal, only because being in the Northeast in the winter, it would be sort of cabbage and onions and more cabbage.
And rocks.
And just... really not very tasty. You know, I love the farmers at the farmer's market for even showing up when it's 5 degrees out. But, you know, I try to remain within season. And so far, since it's been winter, since I started this, it's been a little bit like a lot of root vegetables and cruciferous things. But yeah, I kind of just pick based on what I feel like making. Usually the week before, I would love to be more organized about it and pick 3 months out. But a couple of times I've done it on friends' requests. I had a friend that said, I really never know what to make with eggplant, so can you please do an eggplant week? And I did. But it's so far, it's just been what pops into my head for that week.
You get fans all over the world, and people are, what's fascinating about Tumblr is that, you know, people have the ability to reblog it and sort of curate it on their own sites. Do you come from a background of cooks? Did you cook in a kitchen? What's sort of your deal of how you fell into cooking, so to speak?
I like to partially give credit to my dad's side of the family. He's from a tiny town in Louisiana called Kinder, and his family cooked a lot growing up, and he cooks a lot, and my aunt is a fantastic cook. So there's a history there. My mom also is a great cook. So I grew up with a very conscientious cooking family. Nobody professional in the industry, but you know, my mom was actually a vegetarian while I was growing up. My dad wasn't, but we didn't ever really eat meat at home. So I kind of learned, I think, a lot of creative, healthy vegetarian, how to cook lots of different vegetables, what a real salad looks like, in a way that a lot of people of my generation maybe didn't. I remember the first time I saw an iceberg salad with like ranch dressing, and I was like, what is this? like a total snob. My dad is the kind of cook where he just looks in the fridge, and even with, you know, a packet of ramen, he, like the crappiest store-bought ramen, he could make this awesome, huge bowl of like steaming vegetables and goodies because he just improvises. And, you know, even his cereal bowl is like overflowing with toppings. So I kind of learned from him where I don't think he's ever followed a recipe in his whole life. And I kind of follow that philosophy myself.
What do you think makes a good home cook? Because, you know, a lot of people out there, my sister included, I'm sorry if you're listening, but, you know, she tries to cook, but it is a bit of a challenge at times, mm-hmm. which is understandable.
Yeah.
You know, her problem is that she doesn't like to stay in the kitchen. But, you know, what do you think is kind of a basic skill that you can have in the kitchen to sort of help you along the way to where you can get to that place of improvising and kind of making a recipe your own?
I think, you know, to be a good home cook, it requires, I really think, a willingness to fail a few times and to experiment and to just taste stuff as you make it. I think the biggest disappointment is going through some elaborate recipe that you've found on some website or somewhere that you think looks so amazing, and then spending 2 hours on it and realizing that it doesn't taste like anything because you didn't put enough salt in it, or, you know, the most basic problems that people have. So I always think having a few basic things in your pantry that are just kind of basic. If I could just live off of lemon and red pepper flakes and salt and olive oil with literally any vegetable, I feel like I could make that taste pretty good. And garlic, lots of garlic. So I think people just, they get intimidated by the complexity of it instead of kind of starting with the simple stuff. And it really is just practice and having a sharp knife.
Well, that was going to be my next question, which is what quintessential ingredients are either in your pantry or in your kitchen at all times to kind of make you look like a badass, so to speak?
I taught this intro to vegetarian cooking class on Skillshare a while back, and it was really fun. And I did this class, it was in the summer, so it was sort of based around modular salads. And I always think that having fresh lemons or limes is key to just brightening up anything. Red pepper flakes, just because I like spicy. If you don't like spicy, maybe it's not worth it. You know, good olive oil for finishing. And I like to have some type of cheese, like usually a soft cheese, feta or goat cheese or something, or a hard cheese like pecorino. And with those few basic ingredients, you know, if you've got some grains in your, if you've got brown rice and you have some beans, Those things are so inexpensive and so basic, but you can really use them to make great meals. And I usually try to have like nuts also, a variety of nuts.
Living or dead, what are some of your, who are some of your inspirations for, you know, cookbooks or resources for culinary inspiration?
I have a giant soft spot for Yan Can Cook. That I watched a lot of PBS cooking shows growing up because my family, we didn't have cable, so it was a lot of PBS. And Jacques Pepin and Yan Can Cook and Julie Child were three very obvious ones that I really love to watch. But recently, I think Tamar Adler has been a huge inspiration. I think her book, An Everlasting Meal, was unbelievably beautifully written. And she is such a cool person and so down to earth. And her prose is very beautiful, but the philosophy is like just very essential human nature, kind of how we connect with food and why it's important and the simplicity of that. So I'm not a cookbook collector. I don't buy every new cookbook that comes out, but someone gave me the Buy Right cookbook for Christmas, and that's a fantastic one that just came out.
What do you think makes a great recipe? Is it the actual directions or the ingredients? You know, what component of it, if you could like break it out? Because given the structure of your recipes, you know, what is something that you think is essential?
I think my recipes are a little unusual because I try to actually avoid giving specific quantities for things. I think it's great for people learning to experiment and taste as they go. But as far as recipes I really enjoy, I think it's either unusual combinations of flavors, something that has a basic technique that I can pick up when I use it, but that might be a little bit non-traditional. And I like personality in recipes. I mean, Jamie Oliver is hilarious in just his weird turns of phrase that he uses in recipes. So I like there to be a little personality. I think because I kind of pick and choose from whatever I find out there and then make it my own, I'm not looking necessarily for the super strict step-by-step instructions as much as personality and something else to hold on to about it.
So spring is supposedly, I think, 10 days away.
You're
or
telling us
whatever.
That.
I don't believe it. But, you know, regardless, spring deliciousness is happening. We have fiddlehead ferns coming, morels, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. What are you psyched about cooking soon?
I love rhubarb. I love rhubarb.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Anything that I can put in a basic, like, quick bread or cake that does not involve terribly amount, like, huge amount of baking skill. I'm a pretty good baker when I put my mind to it, but it's not, you know, the very precise measurement is not maybe my area of expertise all the time. So anything that I can put, like, a fruit, or I guess rhubarb is a vegetable, that will sort of melt into a bread cake thing, I'm happy about. I know everybody freaks out about ramps, but I like ramps. you know, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon and
disease when you go foraging for them.
They're overrated.
Although I've been told that rhubarb, if you cook the leaves, it will kill you.
It's true.
So
poisonous leaves.
Don't do that.
It's not the same as like chard.
Bad.
It
news
looks like
chard. Yeah, seriously, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
So tell me about this. If you've got a handsome gentleman around, or a lady, whoever you are, what would you cook for them on, you know, a first date, millionth date.
Billionth date.
You're married, you're whatever. What would you make?
That's a really excellent question. In the past, I've been known to try and impress people with my family's lasagna recipe, which is vegetarian, as you can imagine. And we were not big on tradition, really, with Thanksgiving and those sorts of holidays with the, you know, Christmas ham just did not enter into it. So we would always bring lasagna to family gatherings like weirdos, because we're not Italian at all. So I would always, I think lasagna was my impressive dish because it seems really hard, but I love making tomato sauce. It's Like, that's one of my favorite really simple things to make. And then there was this, embarrassingly, this giada recipe that I found ages ago for berry strata that is just, it's like a bread pudding. I mean, it's just frozen berries and bread pudding. And I used to make that also to try and impress people. It's delicious.
It sounds delicious. You're like, oh, yeah, I worked on this really hard. But yeah,
but it really took like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's totally what I'm
all
about. I
just whisked some eggs together with some cream. And
I look beautiful as I arrived to the party.
And I look so refreshed. My hair is so perfect right now.
We're going to take a very quick break. But when we get back, more from Rachel Crawford of Made Weekly. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Keep it locked.
This one's called ID ID by Obesity on heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Rachel Crawford, the creator of Tumblr's most popular food blog called Made Weekly. And yeah, we're talking all kinds of things about food, and this is not delicious dish. This is something entirely different. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, where the hell do you find inspiration for cooking? Because let's face it, there are the times when you go to the farmer's market, and it can be really, you know, you've seen like carrots and cabbage, and we love our farmers. But, you know, regardless, I would love to talk about this component of the internet because, you know, first of all, I love Tumblr. And what I find very fascinating about your blog is what's happening with your, you know, fans or viewers. Tell me, who is the personality that is coming to kind of check out your website?
It's been really interesting because through the generosity of the people at Tumblr, I've been in the food spotlight. So I get a lot of just natural traffic from people, as you said, around the world. And I don't know that I could say there's an average type. I've kind of poked around and looked at people as they follow me. And it's everything from, you know, teenagers in Eastern Europe to moms to, you know, it's really fascinating, actually, the people that use Tumblr. But, you know, just today I got a message from a woman in India who made an Indian spiced cauliflower fritter recipe. Hugely embarrassing to me because that I claimed it was Indian. I mean, hopefully this was not a problem for her, but she seemed to like it and her husband liked it. And so that was a really cool feedback to get. But yeah, it's sort of fascinating the variety of people that are using Tumblr.
Well, and again, the reblog concept, it's sort of, you know, places like Food 52, which is a sort of the first crowdsourced cookbook archive of sorts, if you will. It's a terrible summarization, but you know, it's very fascinating to watch how people are kind of editing these recipes in that space, you know, in the comment feed. And, you know, do you have that experience in your sort of reblog or comments? I mean, are people kind of stepping in and saying, hey, I tried this out and this is happening? Or
yeah, I have some people who say, hey, I tried this, I swapped this out, it was great. I have some, my favorite is the people who are like, this looks amazing. If I had any, you know, desire to cook anything, I'd make this. That's what you should be doing. Or the people who said, you know, I made this last night. I haven't gotten too much critical commentary, which, so yet. I did have someone tell me that in my recipe, I was incorrect to use the term coriander and cilantro in the same post, which technically they are the same thing. And, you know, if I were being consistent, perhaps I would use the same word. But in the U.S. here, we're confusing in that way. And we don't, you know, if I said fresh coriander, no one would know what I was talking about. So I do get little funny bits of feedback like that.
Cultural disconnects, perhaps,
yeah, or something. They were possibly from the UK.
The UK, right. Well, you know, tell me about, in creating this blog, what has surprised you the most about your process? Whether it's, you know, once you've given the information over, or maybe in the process of cooking, you know, what part of it have you learned something that you didn't expect to find out?
I think it's been great because it's actually forced me to be more creative about certain ingredients that maybe I'm not feeling super creative about usually. I'm also really ADD with my cooking. I'm not interested in cooking the same thing over and over again usually. So the variety and the fact that it forces me to do 5 posts a week and that it's such a tight concept. I had another food blog for a few years and I posted, you know, sporadically. And it was always so hard to write a post because I felt like I had to reveal something about myself or tell some kind of anecdote that was really amazing or have the most perfect photo ever. There had to be some reason to post. And now it's like the reason is built in. So it's been kind of a nice, it's automated. It's automated it in a weird way for me. But it's forced me to be more creative too.
So, you know, how would you describe, in your thoughts, are we a cooking generation? Are we a generation of quote-unquote foodies? Do you think people are sort of seriously invested in food? Or do you think that, you know, where do home cooks stand?
I think that the foodie culture, if you could call it that, is a tough nut to crack. I think
also I should apologize for saying foodie. Yeah. I feel like that's a terrible
term. I was
going to
do air quotes, but it's the radio, so nobody
it's a
would
horrible
say
term that no should be banned from all radio.
You know, I felt a little bit weird coming into this scene because I'm not professionally trained, because I don't come from a restaurant cooking background, and because I'm a vegetarian. I haven't always been, and I've spent, you know, I've cooked meat, I've eaten meat. It's been part of my life, but I've made that choice to go back to being a vegetarian. And I think that that doesn't get a ton of respect usually from the kind of upper echelons of the food Illuminati, if you will. But, I would hope to change that. I would hope that people, and because it's not that I'm cooking from a vegetarian standpoint to say this is the new fad diet you should be following or I'm imposing my beliefs on you. It just happens to be my personal perspective. I think that there is a return to craft that's happened a lot in our generation amongst a certain subset of people. But it would be a lie to say that that was everyone and that that was necessarily widespread because, you know, my personal circle includes those types of people. I think there are still wide swaths of the country that have a lack of access to food who would hopefully want to do this type of thing, but maybe just aren't able to for economic reasons or location reasons. So I think it's still a struggle, and I think it's a really important cause for people to promote home cooking. Because at the end of the day, I really think that's where we're going to fix food system problems and health problems in this country and I guess globally now.
I don't know if you can give this away, but if you can, what is the next ingredient on Made Weekly that's going to be?
Well, I'll be honest. I've been apparently sharing a brain with some editor at Food 52 because every time I'm about to post something, they post the exact thing that I'm about to post. So whoever you are, I was going to do carrots, but then they just did a 6 ways to cook carrots thing. So I thought that would be sort of redundant, as if all the same people that are reading Food 52 are reading my blog. So I decided to switch it to fennel, which is actually one of my favoriteest ingredients of all time, which I used to hate because I thought I hated all things that tasted anything like licorice.
Yo también. Yeah, it's definitely a tricky vegetable for sure. It's in season. Yeah.
It's in season from late fall to early spring.
What is on the horizon for Made Weekly?
I'm just going to keep trucking along until I run out of ingredients. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do salt this week. I can't think of anything else. I'm really excited actually that now that spring's coming because of all the possibilities for new produce that's going to come around. I never ever imagined that I might have a book, but you never know. I would love to, you know, expand it if I can beyond the wonderful world of Tumblr. But I have a lot of weird other projects/professions that I'm involved in. So it's going to be a question of, you know, where it takes me a little bit.
Will Meat ever become involved in Made Weekly?
Not as a core ingredient. Made Weekly sort of came out of another concept that I had a while back where I wanted to do this kind of templated but modular set of recipes where meat was never the center of the plate but could be an accent. Because I think it freaks people out to think of something without any meat on it, but I think reducing even the quantity in a single dish can just help broadly with overconsumption of meat and poor quality meat and the cost of good meat and all that. So I think that as far as saying if you wanted to, you could throw some sausage in this pasta dish, or if you wanted to, you could add this or that as an accent or on top. I could see that coming in, but I think the core of it really is about produce. Once I run out of ingredients, I will probably start doing grains and, you know, other basic stuff. But I don't think meat would, I don't think I'd ever do like a chicken week, for example.
If you could have a fantasy location in the universe for whatever the produce was, what, or the cuisine, where would you go? What would you cook?
Ooh, that is so hard. Well, actually, I studied abroad in Italy. I was fortunate enough to spend a few months in Florence, Firenze. And the Central Market in Florence is like one of the most magical places I've ever been to. And there was this, I will never forget this man who sold dried fruit on the upper level of this market. And I'm dying to go back and see if he's still there, because I'm sure he's been there for like 4 decades and he's probably going to be there for another 4. But he had this bizarre gray pageboy haircut with these bangs. And he just sold every dried fruit under the sun, like kiwi and strawberry and all these things that I didn't even realize you could get as dried fruit. But there, you know, it was right next to like the €2 gigantic bundle of basil. And I think when I don't know what to cook, I go immediately toward Mediterranean and Italian flavors. So probably using the freshest stuff from Italy would be a dream.
And what's great about Firenze and other parts of Italy is that you gotta kind of sweet talk your grocer, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lived there for a little bit too, and I do remember, you know, once you sort of bonded, so to speak, with them, they definitely give you the best piece of whatever it is that you're looking for. Well, if you have not already checked out Made Weekly, go ahead and get onto Tumblr ASAP, because it's pretty great. And you can thank Rachel later for relieving you of the task of finding the best recipe, because it's all there. And Rachel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as always, thanks so much to Jack Inslee and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make. If you hear me now, singing out from the crowd.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.